Bengals fans are amazing. They're resilient, they're tough, but they're fun. And I'm really excited to hopefully meet a lot more of you.
Isaac has the big game. Then we became a real balanced offense for the playoff run, which I thought was really important.
He put on the greatest route running exhibition I have ever seen in my life.
He was football 24/7, and that was the greatest part of Chad.
At times, the early part, I would tell him when we were throwing deep passes, I said, don't wait too long, you know, because I'm going to get away. He ain't going to have the arm to get there. So, you know, I want to run to the ball, you know.
Well, it looks like Duke's in the waiting room. I don't want to keep Duke waiting. He gave us a very limited amount of time. I know he's a busy, busy man. Duke, what's going on, big dog? How you doing, buddy?
Jim, how are you, man? Thanks for having me on. Yeah, hey. I'm real busy. I'm sitting on my porch.
Yeah, well, hey. Have a little drink going on there.
You know, Joe Burrow has played in big games his entire life, and I would think he will be a steady hand at the bow of the ship, and I think I wouldn't be surprised if they take him all the way to the Super Bowl. I really wouldn't.
Welcome to another edition, everybody, of Talking Football with Bengal Jim and Friends. We are missing Jamie. He is deep in a gambling tournament, a Texas Hold'em tournament. He's got to be in the finals right now, James, right?
Poker tournament. He's winning lots of loonies up there in Canada. He promised us if he didn't advance, he was going to be here. So obviously he's doing good. Kudos to him, and hopefully he brings home lots of money.
Yeah, this is his, I believe this is his football spending money if he does well this weekend. So the longer he plays, the more games he's able to come down to Cincinnati for. So you know, right. In a way, this is a good thing. We miss him, but it's a good thing.
All right, man, we got a lot of stuff going on. Guys, around 8:05, Chris Evans, Cincinnati Bengals running back, will be on with us. Guys, been doing a lot of digging in and research stuff here on Chris. Man, what a great guy. Man, we're not just a great football player, but a great human being. We'll talk. I can't wait to talk to Chris. We hit Chris about 8:05, and about 8:30, we have Charlotte Simons, the head cheerleading coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. A lot of good stuff to talk to her about. And around 8:50-ish, we've got DJ Primetime, Tom. He's the new game day DJ here at Paul Brown Stadium, right?
We'll be picking his brain to see, you know, what tunes he's going to be spinning. What does he see he can do to help keep Paul Brown Stadium so fired up.
Yep, and I got a playlist to send him, so we're gonna be good. No country, Tom. No country, James. No country music.
I bet you he's got some in his playlist. We'll see. We'll ask him.
All right. Let's start off, guys. On this date in Bengals history, Tom, the Bengals check into Georgetown College in 1997, and they move from where to Georgetown?
From Wilmington.
Yeah.
Their initial home to Georgetown, and worked out great. It's just the NFL trend was eventually to house everything in Paul Brown Stadium. It's just too much expense, too much inconvenience to truck down all the weights, all the equipment. And then of course, within a day's notice, get it all back and set up at Paul Brown Stadium. But no, they had a great time in Georgetown. I know the team and management really liked being down there. It's an easy drive. It's a great town. And home of the greatest Dairy Queen, I think, in the United States of America.
As many times as I was down there, I never went to that Dairy Queen. I know exactly what you're talking about. The players used to love it.
I walked in there one night, and John Copeland was there with his family. So
There you go. All right, let's do Bengal Brandon's Bengals birthdays. Let's see who he's got for us today on the birthday list. I think he has two players today. If I could find him, we got defensive lineman Langston Moore, who turns 41 today. We have offensive lineman TJ Johnson, who turns 32 today. So Bengal Brandon, Bengals birthday, only two Bengals birthdays today. I thought we might have had a couple more than just two there. So a couple quick things. I want to bring something up. Tony the Tiger wanted me to share with you guys. So we're almost about 20,000 in money raised for local charities here already this year. We got some big stuff getting ready to announce. Tony's actually selling these patches, and all the proceeds are going to go to American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. There's not a link. Just direct message Tony, whether it be on Instagram, Facebook, or Twitter. He'll get those patches and stickers and stuff to you. But you can see the prices there. 3-inch patch and 3-inch stickers, 12 for $2, 2 sets for 20. So that's a charity near and dear to Tony's heart there. So just make sure you DM Tony, no matter what social media platform you're on, to get that done. So also, let's talk about the Cincy shirts. We'll have some sort of update here soon on where we're at on all the shirts and the money raised for Ken Anderson Alliance. But guys, man, we there should be a link popping up here soon. Caleb, our new producer's in the background right now. We'll pull him on here later. Is going to share a link to the shirts and the koozie, the new koozies. Those are actually should be in this week. Tom's favorite shirt right there, which James' son Cannon was sporting this weekend. We'll talk about that here in a minute. And our number one best-selling shirt right there, the big tailgater shirt. And those things are nice. I went down to pick mine up Friday before I headed up to Indianapolis. That's really nice. And then our other show shirt. We do have a couple surprises coming. As you remember, last week Josh Need was telling everybody that we're going to have a different focus, different tailgate shirt for every home game throughout the entire year. Let's just say July 27th. Tom, is that the day before the first day of training camp?
Might be the day after they report.
Okay. Well, the day before the Bengals report to training camp, there is going to be a new shirt drop. And wait until you see this, guys. I cannot wait for you guys to see what Cincy Shirts has come up with. But it is sick. It is a really cool shirt. So make sure you get your shirt. 100% of the proceeds. We don't make a damn dime off of this thing. Go directly to Ken Anderson Alliance. And I know they've been selling a lot of these shirts. So thank you, everybody, for buying those. That's a really cool thing. Let's talk about the Ring of Honor, guys. There's supposed to be an announcement, if I read correctly, next week. They're making that announcement, Tom. And as you and I, as we've been talking for a long time off air, man, it's a wish we could do four, but they're only doing two.
They're only doing two. So, you know, we'll certainly there's plenty of room on that wall. But and there was a lot of talk. I know there was some sports talk radio fodder on that this past week, and it's difficult. There are just so many guys that ultimately belong up there. But I know the criteria for myself when I voted was anybody that I thought needed to be on that wall to help their case get into the Hall of Fame. That's who I wanted. I actually split my vote with another fan who does not live close and does not have season tickets and does not even live in the country. I gave him the option of taking that other vote, and the other vote went to him. And if he wants to disclose that next week when he's here, he can. But I very proudly voted for Willie Anderson, and if I could have voted for him twice, I would have.
No doubt, James. Willie deserves it. And my thing is, last year, if you remember, is when the initial four went in, they did the ceremony on Thursday night before the game. So hopefully, logistically, if they can make it happen, and if they do another dinner/event, do it Wednesday. That way, those that have a big tailgate in the southeast corner of Paul Brown Stadium could attend it on Wednesday night. So that's my wish. Honestly, I voted for Willie too, and I can't remember who the other person was that I voted for. What, it's been about 2 months ago, 6-8 weeks ago that we voted. Honestly, I can't even remember who the other person was. As Tom said, I think Willie's somebody that needs to be in, and then I think there's a lot of people up for that second one, so it's going to be interesting to see who gets that. But again, if we can just do that dinner event, second Ring of Honor party Wednesday night before Bengals front office, if you're listening.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say that's for the Bengals front office. And I know Willie's coming. You know, I know there's gonna be a lot of people in town. Willie's trying to make it into a game. If he makes it to the Ring of Honor, he's going to be at that Thursday night game. I can tell you that right now. Also, the July 31st show, guys. You know, Tom and I and James and Jamie and Caleb, we're trying to we've got a lot of Hall of Fame voters that we're talking to right now, that a couple of the guys we've had on last year, but we're going to focus that entire July 31st show on the Hall of Fame. So they're supposed to be making announcements in August on who their picks are going to be. There's some stuff going on. They're going to reduce the number, Tom, from whatever number to like, what, 10 or 12, I think is what we saw.
Yeah, I think, you know, from all the nominees, we're about at like 55, 50, somewhere in the 50s. They're going to take it down to 12. I think here in the coming days, and then make that determination in August, sometime in mid-August, as to who the three nominees are going to be this year. And the way we're reading things and looking at the tea leaves, I think what has been politely suggested by the Hall's board is to have two, you know, players from the senior committee, but that third one will kind of be someone older, somebody who played in the 30s or the 40s or maybe even the 50s, who's been overlooked just simply because he doesn't have anybody to push his case. So reading the tea leaves, I think that's what they want. Of course, they want also wanted that several years back, and that didn't happen. So we'll have to see. But I think we all know from the seniors committee, the two guys that we're pushing and we think are more than deserving. And certainly from the modern era of voters, the one guy, the big guy, number 71, definitely needs to be in. And they all need to be in now. There's no point in waiting anymore. They've been screwed over long enough.
No doubt. No doubt. And guys, I was going to wait toward the end of the show here. We're now just kind of waiting for Chris to dial in here in a couple minutes. Guys, we're making a special announcement. We'll make it now. Next Sunday, we have got a very special episode, probably pretty similar if everybody remembers watching that Super Bowl 16 special that we had, where we threw seven or eight guys on the screen. We have got the 2005 AFC North Championship reunion next Sunday. We have got Willie Anderson, TJ Houshmandzadeh, Justin Smith, Levi Jones, Rudy Johnson, Shane Graham, Rich Bram, Brian Simmons. We're trying our asses off to get Chad. If anybody has a direct contact with him, or if you want to just overwhelm him on social media right now and tag him about, hey, how come everybody's there except for you? Go ahead and do it. Let's get him. Whatever we got to do to get him. But we're kind of playing with some graphics right now. Shane will not be the lead guy in this graphic when we're done with this, but I at least wanted to share what we had so far. So it's a big deal, guys. That's going to be an epic episode for sure.
Be a lot of fun. I think people are still talking about that last one we did with a multitude of Bengals greats from the Super Bowl. Just great interaction between them. Just stuff that you know, normally the fans don't get to see, the joking back and forth and all that. So definitely expect that. Certainly some character is going to be on next Sunday, and a great chance to catch up with a team that I think a lot of Bengals fans started following or liking. I think that brought in a whole new generation of Bengals fans that are with us today because of the excitement of that 2005 team.
It was a fun team. It was an entertaining team. It was an exciting team. Offensively powerful, defensively opportunistic, you know, certainly one of the five best teams in history, but all the much more special just, you know, because of the firepower and getting to follow Chad, his antics that year, which got a lot of, you know, people fired up on both sides of the fence. But, you know, special group, and we've got really special guys. So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun next week. I hope everybody's able to tune in.
Yeah, and I think on top of that, guys, I would maybe, Tom, I don't know where you would rank them, James, Tom. That's one of the better teams in Cincinnati football history, in my opinion.
Good, James.
Yeah, I think obviously everybody knows the run that they could have had, minus the injury in the first half of the playoff game. Certainly that offense was one of the best of the league that year. They would just outgun everybody. And when Carson went down, it was a whole lot of what-ifs going back and forth. But a fun team to watch. And as you mentioned with Chad, you never knew what you were going to get every game or what antic he was going to pull. And just some solid guys. Some of them will be on the show next Sunday. And a lot of fun to watch for sure.
What to look at, I mean, one of the top half dozen teams of all time, certainly the three AFC champions teams that went to the Super Bowl. I think the 2015 team, you know, if Andy doesn't get hurt, they certainly would have been in the running to go to the Super Bowl. The 1975 wild card team that you know, if they played today, would, you know, everybody be bonkers for them that could have gone to the Super Bowl. And then that 2005 team is right there with them.
Yeah, I'm pretty excited about it, guys. And again, I've got confirmation from every one of those guys that they'll be here. I got a picture sent to me of a couple players. I didn't even recognize Brian Simmons. I mean, these guys, when they stop playing, they look good, right? But they're just not as bulky as they once were. Brian Simmons was a stud too, man. He was one of the better linebackers in Bengals history for sure.
Hey guys, while we're getting Chris to dial in, question for you. We'll go from history to modern times. The sky was falling briefly this week. Hopefully everybody's been able to prop it back up when Jesse Bates and the Bengals could not agree to another long-term contract. He will be under the franchise tag this year, and you know, he's frustrated and has said he's not going to show up. He's not going to play. What's both of your takes on that situation?
Well, if you look at it, I don't know how many players were kind of in that boat of Jesse, potential franchise tag candidates, whether they re-signed or not. But, you know, you look across the AFC at Orlando Brown, huge name there, somebody the Kansas City Chiefs gave up a lot of draft picks for. And, you know, they too were unable to come to terms with, you know, their franchise left tackle. So certainly we weren't the only ones. Two other guys, I can't remember their names, maybe Jimmy or Tom, you do, but we weren't the only ones that were unable to come to terms, and it's just part of the game of the NFL, and that's why it's in there, and hopefully he'll want to play for, what, $12.91 million this year?
Yeah, that's where I'm at, man. And again, look, the players got to do what they got to do. Their lifespan is very short, 3 to 5 years, 3 or 4 year average as an NFL football player. I know they got to make the money while they can. I just my take on it, though, however, is him saying that he's not going to sign it and not play this year for $13-14 million. I'm sorry, man. There's no way he walks away from $13+ million. But I don't know, guys. They've got a lot of stuff coming up here. They saw this coming with their draft. If you remember the draft we had, very heavy in the secondary and safety in the draft, and. I don't know, man. I'm one of the best safeties in the NFL. I'm hoping his agent. I think his agent is one of those agents that really cause some problems for NFL teams. He's always looking for his players to be number two or three paid at their position in the NFL. So it's a tough situation, that's for sure.
Yeah, Jimmy, I think you bring up a really good point. But the one thing about Jesse, and we all love Jesse, and when he is on, he is one of those elite safeties in the league. But last year, games 1 through 17, he wasn't on. You know, he was not the Jesse we'd learned to count on in coverage, tackling, you know, and his grades fell like that. He was very mediocre. Now, you know what, though? After halftime of the playoff game against the Raiders, he turned it on, and he was that elite Jesse again, helping make big plays, you know, that play in the AFC Championship game that ended up being an interception with Von Bell and coverage of Travis Kelce was unbelievable. That play will go down in Bengal lore forever. And then he had an excellent Super Bowl. He had a pick in the Super Bowl and saved a touchdown. But, you know, I'm not sure the consistency's been there. I mean, year one, he was fabulous as a rookie. Year two, maybe a little bit of a sophomore slump. Year three, one of the top three safeties in the league. Year four, not there. And I just wonder if he does hold out or does skip camp and does anything to damage his performance during the regular season, you know, what's that say going into free agency again for him next year to have, you know, two bad regular seasons in a row or not as good as you can be? But, I he's a good guy. I've met him. I know his teammates think the world of him and love him, and he is important. He's smart. Cause the defense, but it's, you know, the other thing is we've got a talented team and they're young. We're not going to be able to pay everybody. And, yeah. You know, I wonder if a little of it is his position, and just they may, as they're developing that core, that's going to eat up the entire salary cap if he's just somebody that doesn't fit.
Yeah. Good point, Kyle, on that. Again, just an interesting dynamic here on this, but you know, he, if, I don't know if you guys saw the rating, the Pro Football Focus rating, the top five rated Bengals through the playoffs in the Super Bowl. Number one rated player, 100 scoring in a scoring system, was Jesse Bates. He was our top rated player throughout the playoffs. He didn't play like that during the regular season, start to finish, but he really stepped his game up in the playoffs.
He did.
So, James, you talked to Chris. He's on the way, I think, right?
Yep, he's finishing up something. He apologizes. He is coming. So, matter of fact, it's something we're going to talk to him about. I think it's a youth event that he's very active in the community. So he will be joining us here momentarily.
There he is.
Once he
gets, here he is. There he is. Hey, Chris, what's up?
So, yes, he will be with us, and appreciate everyone's patience on that. One thing we talked about too, the fantasy football league we had last year, there's already been people asking us this year, are you guys going to do it again? The answer is yes. We haven't, as everybody knows, everything we do here is for charity. So we will be taking the proceeds from that, donating it to charity. Last year was Icky Woods and the Javonte Woods Foundation. He came to one of the last games of the year, autographed a jersey. We sent that to our friends in Rochester, who the Arnett's family, who took home year one of the Bengal Gym Fantasy Football Tournament.
So AJ got lucky. He got lucky, James.
I think Jimmy won one game all year, so we'll see if he can double his win total for year number two. But, again, people have already asked if you want to partake in that. Let us know. We'll let you know the buy-in and then the charity that we're going to support through that. So it's fun. We'll do a live draft and stay tuned for the specifics on that.
Yeah, that draft last year was comical. It was fun. It was a good time. So
you had every Bengals player locked up, Jimmy.
And I was drafted Bengals former players. I had Andy Dalton as my backup. I had Giovanni Bernard. I was drafting anybody.
You had them all. So.
Yeah, you went a little too far drafting Dewey Warren as your third stringer, but, you know, what the heck.
I'm trying to think what else we could hit on before Chris comes on here, guys. We got to – let's see. Yeah, real quick, if everybody right now that's in there viewing, whether you're on Facebook, Twitter, or YouTube, go ahead and get your questions out now for Chris. Caleb right now will kind of tag those, and we'll try to get to as many of those as we possibly can. So any questions you have for Chris, the very unique story this guy has, and it's a very cool thing. That's one of the things why I personally love doing this show that we've been doing for 3 years now is when you kind of prepare for the show and you're starting to get your stuff together, you start learning stuff about these players and the people that we're talking to that I never would have known if we weren't doing this show. And that's probably been one of the most rewarding things to me is finding out not just the – what they do on the field, but these are most of the people we're talking to are great human beings off the field as well. They're just all about helping people. And you're going to hear some great stuff about Chris tonight, but we've done this for this is season three, guys. And we've learned so much. We thought we knew a lot about Bengals history and about Bengal players. We've learned a lot going through this process, preparing for this show for shows, getting ready to talk to players.
A lot of behind the scenes stories that were never told. And you know, I think, players come on, they feel comfortable. Again, they appreciate all the fan questions and the support over the years that all the Bengals fans across the globe have been so generous with them on. And, yeah, it's a lot of fun. Caleb here brings up a hot topic, and we'd be remiss not to talk about it this week, the new helmet. I think there was a lot of buzz. There was a lot of feedback back and forth. What's the helmet going to look like? Is it going to be the old retro helmet? Is it going to be a whiteout helmet? Is it going to be something that we haven't even seen? And we got a little teaser from the Bengals. What was it, Wednesday or Thursday of last week? And I think pretty clear, subtle hints of what direction the new or alternate helmets are going to go with.
Yeah, it was a no-brainer. It wasn't to me, it wasn't a surprise. I thought it was something that had to be done. Can you imagine a whiteout at PBS Thursday night with the all-white uniform? Guys, I'm telling you, it's going to – hey, see this jersey? I've already called Cook Sporting Goods. I got a white one ordered with black Cincinnati across the front, and black Bengal Gym. I can't find – I'm trying to find a white hat like it. It is going to be crazy at Paul Brown Stadium Thursday night. I'm assuming that's the game they're going to do it. I don't know, but I can't wait.
what was it? Has it been four years or longer now when they first introduced the white jerseys for that Thursday night game? Maybe against Miami, was it?
Dolphins.
Four or five years ago. So now here we come full circle.
Has the NFL determined how many games can they use the white helmet for? Did they ever rule on that?
I've read multiple things on that. I heard that they're only going to be able to use it once. Then I'm like, anytime they wear the white uniforms, I don't know what the official ruling is on it, Tom, but I hope they can use it anytime they wear those white uniforms. That'd be sweet.
Yeah. I mean, I think a lot of people are excited about it. And again, kudos to the Bengals PR staff who did a very cool video teasing what that new helmet's going to look like. And hey, another opportunity to buy some new Bengals swag as well. So I think a lot of people have some maybe in their collection now, but I think we'll see a full-blown onslaught of the white helmets at the pro shop and Cooks and everywhere else that you get your favorite Bengals gear from.
If the third jersey, we lose the orange, you know, the I-71 cone jerseys, if we lose those and go back to the throwback jerseys, I wouldn't mind, if the NFL would allow a third helmet like college does for it to be the traditional pumpkin Bengals.
I'm there for that.
And if our jerseys were like that now, I think. But yeah, I think the white helmets is a great choice moving forward.
Got it. Well, I'll tell you what, guys. Chris is still on the way back home. He'll be dialing in here in a minute. We're going to – Charlotte is in the waiting room now. We're going to get her on here a couple minutes early and hit on some Bengal discussion. There's a lot of stuff to hit on here. So we'll bring Charlotte on here, see if she's ready to go here. Hold on 1 second, guys. All right, Charlotte, here we go. We're trying to bring Charlotte on here. Charlotte, how you doing? Can you hear us?
I sure can. How are you all doing?
Wonderful. How you doing?
Hanging in there, living the dream.
You have been one busy person for a long time, but especially this year. You just got doing a lot of different things. But do me a favor. Charlotte, you've been a – how long have you been – tell everybody how long you've been the Bengals cheerleading. How long have you been involved in Bengals cheerleading? Everybody that's watching right now, it's amazing how long Charlotte's been involved in this thing. I did not know this until today. Charlotte, give everybody the scoop. How long you've been around with this cheerleading?
Okay, I started actually cheerleading when I was in high school. At that time, they allowed you to be in high school and still be able to cheer. We now take them a little bit older. And I was just getting ready to go to my senior year. Somebody had mentioned trying out auditioning. So I did it and I cheered for the Bengals. 3 seasons while I was going to Miami University. And during my tenure at Miami, I cheerleaded with Miami and the Bengals for 2 of those seasons. So then I came and went. I taught camps around the country my senior year of college, but then Shirley Bird, my predecessor, called me and said, "Your name keeps coming up. Would you consider coming back and being our coordinator?" And I'm like, okay, what does that mean? I went to her house and more or less interviewed, and she said, "I want you to be my next coordinator." So there's Shirley Bird, and then there's me. So there hasn't been anybody else. And so I was her coordinator for, it was just meant the captain. I cheered 13 seasons.
So you cheered at the 88 Super Bowl, correct?
Yep, I sure did. That was my last cheerleading on the field myself, or personally. And I cheered both Super Bowls. I cheered 82 and 89.
Oh, very cool, very cool. And then I got a quick video we're going to show here. we'll let it play, and we'll talk about this afterwards. So I guess the cheerleaders have a Facebook page or something and some videos, a YouTube page. It's been kind of fun following these guys because they had a hell of a run just as fans. And then the cheerleaders going through the same, the whole season, the playoffs and going to the Super Bowl. This is a fun video. So I'm going to play this here real quick and we'll come back and we'll talk to Charlotte. Start over my head.
We're going to cheer to victory.
Oh my God, you love it.
talk to
us. That still gives me the chills.
I know, I got goosebumps right now. I mean, talk about that experience with the girls and just how they felt and how you felt. That was an amazing, amazing trip.
It truly was. And obviously, it was not expected. Quickly, it became our reality. So I can't say how proud I was walking in that stadium with our ladies in their black dresses, scooting their orange luggage. Never thought we would be taking that orange luggage to Super Bowl, but I'm behind taking a lot of the videos. I took a couple of the videos on the bus, and I keep watching the same videos of them getting off the bus. The Rams were second. They came after us, meaning we got to get off the bus and take pictures outside the stadium. And then the Rams came up behind us, and I'm just looking at our team and how dressed and how proper. I was just like one proud lady. I got to tell you, it still makes me.
That's awesome. Very cool. Very cool. So you've been involved in all three Super Bowls in some capacity as a cheerleader, either actually cheering or coaching. That's just a cool, cool thing.
Yeah.
Tom?
Charlotte, we have somebody in common, one of your Pro Bowl cheerleaders from a few years back. I don't know if I should be going to use her name, but married somebody who's essentially another son to me, Matt. You were at the wedding.
So I know where this is going.
You know you're talking about. But one question, will the Bengals be getting new boots this year? Was a question from her.
They get new boots every year.
Okay. Now that was a question I was supposed to ask. I didn't know if that was a complaint maybe the girls have or.
Oh, no. They get boots. Even when I back in the day when I cheered, if you were on the team multiple years, you might have kept, seems like I might have kept the same boots a year or two. But since I've been here, unless we have gotten boots, they've gotten boots every year. In fact, they just got their new boots a couple days ago. In fact, they get boots and shoes and a couple different pieces.
What is a typical, I won't say work week, but a week of preparation like for all of you getting ready for a game on Sunday?
Oh, okay, cool. That's a good question because behind the scenes, I guess everybody just sees the end product, the end result of the cheerleaders on the field. But leading up to that point, administratively, there's a lot behind the scenes. So like right now, let's start with practices first. You mentioned game day, but it all kind of meets in the middle with the same fabric. But it's just like now taking my phone. My phone's blowing up with our captains and coaches laying out. I have to see what the schedule is for Tuesday, Thursday. We practice Tuesdays and Thursdays. Right now they're doing three a week. So they're doing Tuesday, Wednesdays, Thursdays. But that only lasts through the month of July, the first week or so in August, leading up to preseason. But it's a lot of preparation music-wise, you know, especially since we've just got this amazing Seth and his group have done an amazing job, you know, trying to cultivate and make it a great game day experience. So a lot of behind the scenes all weekend, we're listening to music, trying to make sure we choose the right songs. Then it has to be cut. Then choreographed. We use different choreographers, so that has to be etched into, is there our timeout 45 seconds? Is it a minute timeout? So what's going to be the best pregame song? Because you're going to hear the pregame song, you know, every week. So behind the scenes, there's a whole lot of kind of just technical, what you might say, boring stuff. But then also mix this in, aside from the games, the ladies are super busy with appearances. You know, next week I'm getting four people ready for Clark County Fair. You know, there's a lot of behind the scenes of, you know, where they get to go do other things, other appearances and so forth. So typical week is a lot of hours. And then on game day, the gals show up. If we have a 1 o'clock game, they walk in at 8 o'clock in the morning and starts the production. So it can get busy. This week coming up, that's like we have, they have their PR photo shoots. So those are all scheduling out like I said, a big part of it's administration, but we also have three amazing line leaders. We have one sharp captain. She's so good. Two coaches and myself. So it's a constant little chitter chatter. And again, I think the beautiful thing of the whole piece of this whole puzzle is that everybody has the same common denominator. Everybody has that same inkling to be the best version of themselves, to represent the city of Cincinnati, to represent the club. That's number one. And with that, it makes it challenging at times, but it also makes what keeps us going, what keeps churning, and why I've done this for so long, or why my coaches have been with me for 15 plus years. It's kind of the same. Yep. You should come to one of our game week practices, Tom.
I've heard about them. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Yeah, so you just went through tryouts, I think, right? Did you have like 50 cheerleaders, and what was the final squad? How many did you cut it down to? And how hard is that, Charlotte, when you've got to tell somebody who's worked really hard to try to get on this team that they just didn't make it? How does that process work?
Yeah, and again, it's heartfelt. You know, coaches, you see grown women shedding tears. We sit right here in the kitchen, you know, after all the auditions. The auditions, they're a huge process. It's not just, showing up at the venue and what meets the eye makes the team. No, we go through with coaches, evaluations, interviews, evaluations as far as maybe at the finals, everybody doesn't see that they've already been judged on skill sets. They've already been judged on their interviews. They've already been judged on several pieces of the puzzle. The auditions are actually kind of icing on the cake, where it just kind of cements, you know, what the final team is going to look like. But it's hard because we start back in late March, early April. We got a little bit of a late start this year, but for good reason. And we have spent now, mind you, maybe 6 weeks with a lot of these candidates where they come to all the prep classes. So you get attached because you see a young lady working so hard and wants it so badly. And at the end of the day, only 24 can cheer. I can choose 30 because, you know, six people go up on the stage during the other times. And they also do marketing appearances during the game. So with all of that being said, it makes it really tough. This year I started doing something I had never done before. And most directors around the league kind of really aren't into this, but to show the appreciation for those ladies who were in that room for 6 weeks and then went into auditions and their hearts were broken. Maybe they tried out two or three times. I've now started, they ask, what can I do better? What can I do to improve to come back? At the end of the day, what you have to do better is beat out 24 other people. It is a competition, but it's also not just based upon dance experience. That's key. That's number one. But also, can this person represent the club? How would she do in the community? Because they only cheered 10 or so games, but you know, they're in the community 90%, maybe the game's 10%. So it's also important. But what I've started to do in the midst of all this craziness is gone through my notes, the coach's notes, consolidated those, and then gone through all of the judges' manual score sheets and tried to come up with some substance that my goal is to just write one or two each day and say, who's the people that have reached out to me and say, here's my suggestions on the future. Here's, try to give them the positives. You know, it's not going to be a negative email, but I do feel like some people have spent a lot of time in a couple of years. So, you know, it kind of hurts, you know, and it's hard to let go of some. You know, there's some we're pulling for, but, you know, they have to get in the top 35 or so that they become a discussion. Right. And then you take the 30, top 30 from that.
Got it. James, you got anything for Charlotte?
No, one of the questions I was how you pared them down and how many actually made the final roster. Was there substitutes? How many started? I think some people, I believe it was the Dallas squad had almost like a Hard Knocks deal where they followed them some several years back. She answered most of them. You know, I think what's important, and she mentioned this, was, yes, it's 10 games on the field, but there's so much behind the scenes that they do, the appearances and probably the hospitals and things like that that they do that many of the fans don't see. They just see them on Sundays with the cheers and at the start of the fourth quarter and things like that. But there's so much behind the scenes that they do that's important. So, it's again, it's not just their dance skills, it's their character and what they do in the community that's important.
Yeah. Char, we see the girls out and about all across the city, all across the tri-state all the time when there's events going on. So we see them. There's always a small handful at every one of the events. I think that's a really cool thing you guys do. But before we let you get off the show here, I got to make you uncomfortable. Come on. This is what we do. We kind of push a little bit. But you got to share a story of some kind. It could be your story. It could be a story about a cheerleader, something funny that happened, something something out of the ordinary that you're able to share. You know, this is a PG-13 show, but something you're able to share. I don't care how far back it is, but just a story you think would be fun to share with all the viewers.
For the real stories, I think we need to go out for some beers.
Yeah, exactly. I'm sure. You know? I'm sure.
There's so many, Jim, and I keep thinking about it. Everybody says you have to write the book, and I said, well, I might have to be dead before it's published. But I do have top 10 stories. I do have top 3 stories. But I guess I'm going to, in a positive note, on some of the interesting, I think one thing that sticks in my mind right now is, you know, we have a couple of ladies who are from Japan. And I think that's real positive that other people from other countries want to be here. And our team, the organization, has been very supportive of me, very supportive of them, getting the visas and the A1s and AOs and so forth and getting them here. And, you know, that's been kind of a work in progress, but it seems like now we're able to see the fruits of, wow, by investing in some other cultures, because we do want to work on our diversity as well. And that's been kind of interesting. It's not one of those under the table stories, but it is one that when I think of, wow, what's the legacy? Do I want to leave? What is it? You know, and I think a lot of it has to do with situations like that. And then also just to see the growth of these ladies, to see a girl come in on the sideline. She's, when it's not her turn to dance, she's over there with a book studying for her bar. You know, one time we had two lawyers who both passed the exam at the same time. Usually they start studying in July. That was cool. That gives me the chills as well. At one time we had two board certified gynecologists on the team. So I think important takeaway from here is not only are they amazing performers, you know, but they're also very important that their education process and what they're doing behind the scenes, because cheerleading isn't a full-time job. So that's kind of not really putting me on the spot. Those are
you made a great point there. Again, we know a handful of them as well. So you made a great point there. I'm glad you did make that. So sure. Hey, we have known you for a long time. You're awesome. We just keep doing what you're doing. And we'll see you back in Arizona. We'll see you back in Arizona for the Super Bowl this year. So we'll see you and the girls there.
You know it. Well, thank you guys.
Thank you. Appreciate all your work. Good day.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. That was cool, her making time to do that, though. That was pretty cool.
That was, and kudos to her. And being with for 3 Super Bowls, how awesome is that? So I'm texting with Chris now, trying to get him the link to log in. Looks like we have our next guest on. So, again, we appreciate everybody being patient. He's on the way home to get logged in, and we will have Chris. But looks like we got our next guest waiting in the waiting room.
Yeah, before we bring him on, Caleb, hey, I got my playlist. I'm going to give the DJ Primetime. It's the early, mid-80s, early 90s hip-hop. We need more of that stuff, and I'm going to see if this guy can help us out. So bring him on in, Caleb, if you can. DJ Primetime, what's up, big dog?
How's it going, guys? Can you see me and hear me well?
Yeah, you're good, man. You're good.
Awesome.
Hey, thanks
awesome.
For making time. I know it's a busy night for you.
Yes, I'm a little busy right now hosting a watch party for the FC game, but I made some time for you all.
All right.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I know your feed broke up a little bit there with some of Jimmy's playlists. You know, Jimmy's got his own version of music and so forth and what's good. But certainly you already have some big league experience. Now you're at the top. You're in the NFL for the Cincinnati Bengals. How are you going to help fire up PBS this year? How what are you looking to do at Paul Brown Stadium this year?
So if any of the fans out there are familiar with me, with FC Cincinnati, I just like to bring energy, you know, high energy music. I like to get feedback from the fans. I like to know what the fans want to hear. I'm always open to requests and different ideas. If anybody has any ideas and stuff like that, I try to implement them as much as I possibly can. So it's really just giving the fans exactly what they want, which is energy. You know, like I said, it's a party. You know, I want Paul Brown to be a party every, you know, every game day.
Sounds and perfect.
Kind of let you know, there's only one song. Look, I'm not a big country guy, but James is country. How do you make 65,000 people happy in the stadium? You got to play some country, I guess, to make James everybody happy. But our producer behind the scenes right now says you have to ask the question. I know the Bengals should be giving you a playlist. I'm sorry, a list of songs you cannot play, like no go, like Black and Yellow. You can't play that one. You already got that. Right? So I figured he'd know that already. But what other songs are on that no playlist?
You know, it's just so anything that's themed towards a certain team. So I mean, just as say we played the Raiders. You know, if we played the Raiders, like. Blow the Whistle, like anything from like Too Short or like the Bay Area would be like an absolute no-go because, you know, that's kind of their, you know, that's kind of their music. So tradition. Just that type of thing.
But Blow the Whistle, Too Short, James is a great song. I'm just telling you.
It's a great song.
Too Short's a great artist for sure. So when interviewing for this job, DJ Primetime, and again, thank you for taking time out of your schedule to join us. What were the Bengals looking for to change things up? And what did they see in you that was like, man, he's our guy. Let's bring him in and rock PBS, a sold-out PBS.
Yeah, so number one was experience, just having the experience with playing in stadiums, playing in front of, you know, really big crowds. You know, I also DJ for Xavier University men's basketball. I've worked with the Pacers, Indiana Pacers before, so I have the experience. And what they were looking for was, you know, they brought in a new game day ops team last year, like a game day presentation guy. So he came from the New Orleans Saints, and he wanted to kind of switch things up. And he wanted somebody to have the experience. He wanted somebody that was known well in the city, in the community also. I do a lot of work in the community. I do a lot of work actually in the city. So that's what I'm trying to bring. You know, I've been in Cincinnati now for 10 years, and I've got to know the people, and I've got to know a lot of the players. You know, I'm really good friends with a lot of the players. And so they just wanted somebody that was more involved, somebody that had very, like, a lot of knowledge of the actual game. Situationally, you know, first downs are not the same as big third downs, and, you know, fourth and goals, and that type of thing. So it's like, what kind of energy do I want to bring for those special and like individual occasions that'll happen during the game?
Got it. Tom, you got anything else?
Yeah, I was just wondering. I mean, you're going to have a separate list to the side, maybe to stick the needle to the opposition. You know, the opposing quarterback throws an interception.
So like, those are all those situational things. It's like, you know, I don't want to really give away a lot right now. So a lot of it's going to be a surprise. It's going to be a surprise. And we actually do have some things that we've been working as a team that we're going to surprise the fans with this year. That's going to be a little bit different in the stadium. And I think that you all will like them, but a lot of them are very top secret. So I can't give it away, but I promise you once that Pittsburgh game comes, we're going to have Paul Brown rocking.
And maybe this is something that's part of the top secret plan, but I remember our buddy Craig and I were in Atlanta, the Mercedes-Benz Dome, and I can't remember the DJ's name, and they were proud of him. He was on probably the screen 90% of dead ball whistles, but he was located up in the kind of concourse, end zone concourse, not up in the suite area, kind of exposed to fans and things like that. Any chance you're going to be out there with the folks outside?
So it's a little bit more difficult in an outdoor stadium because of the weather. That's the only thing with, you know, with FC, I'm actually in the, like, in the crowd, like you were mentioning. But during Bengal season, because it's the wintertime, it's going to be kind of hard for me to be outside with the weather, you know, and it's cold outside and then my equipment. And, you know, I don't want to get that, like, if it's snowing or raining or anything like that. But if I do get the opportunity, of course, I'll be with the fans. I know like a lot of the fans do enjoy that. So if I get the opportunity, I definitely will be.
So are you going to be down there, I'm assuming, on the 30th?
For the
back to,
what is it? Yes, I will be there for that also.
All right, so we'll get a little taste of DJ Primetime on July 30th down there. So, brother, man, we appreciate you being with us, Big Dog. Thanks for taking time out of what you're doing, man, and come talk to us a little bit. So
everybody's, thank you all for having me.
Hooday.
All right, man, see you, buddy.
Yes.
Hooday, buddy.
See you.
Hooday.
Bengals front office stepping up the game day experience in any way they can. So,
you know, I think we talk about it. It seems like every year something else has changed at PBS. You know, obviously the Roar of the Jungle was something new last year. We had the gentleman that came on board from Kansas City for that game day experience. We know all the changes that Elizabeth brought to the Bengals. So, just another exciting change, another new addition for the fan experience, which I think they realize. I think all the NFL realizes how important it is to get fans to the stadium. It's easy to sit at home on a 10-degree day when snow or rain and, you know, fight the crowd and the expensive beers. But there's nothing that beats being at the stadium, being there for that game day experience. And everything that they're doing to bring the fans out to PBS, obviously putting a winning product on the field's done that with the sold out season tickets this year, and excited to see DJ Primetime and what he can do for the upcoming year.
All right, let's do this. So Chris is having trouble logging in, not sure why. James, if we could do a couple different things. You've got your ear pods on. I could call him on my cell phone and just put him on speaker next to the mic and we could have a conversation with him.
Let's give him 5 more minutes. He just texted again. He's almost home. So he's going to log in from his home computer. So we'll give him 5 more minutes because we have a lot of cool videos.
We got bonus show tonight for everybody, guys. This is good stuff. Let's do this. In the comment section, the first person that puts up a topic, let's talk about whatever you want to talk about here. So got a ton of viewers right now. So as the very first person that puts in a comment about a topic they want to hit on, we will talk it up and we'll put it up for you guys. And we will talk about that until Chris gets logged in here. So let's see, a lot of stuff in here, but no topic. So what do you guys want to talk about? Something specific?
Not touching that one,
Tony. All right, here's a good topic. All right, let's go. We're going to go beer. James, it's a great topic. Maybe it's a new thing we do, roulette topic, man. So James is talking about beer. I mean, James Harrison is talking about beer here, guys. So let's talk about I know what James' favorite beer is. James, what is
it? No, I wasn't even going to go that direction. I was going to say we had a little get-together last night. Some people on the screen were there. Everybody was invited. It was in Indy, so I know it was a long drive. But our buddy Dell from 16 Lots shows up, and Dell never shows up empty-handed. And what did Dell have? A case of the new Kenny's 16 Lots beer. New design can. It's kind of the same look, just a little...
James got booted. James got booted. I'll let James finish this.
James going to assist Chris, I bet.
No, he was mid-sentence. There he is.
Yeah, I was mid-sentence. I don't know. I think Caleb booted me off. But, no, that new 16 lots is there. Expected. I think we were talking to Dell last night. Is that it's available in Kroger's now, I believe he said. Didn't he?
Yeah, 40 Kroger's. They got exclusivity to it for a couple weeks, it looks like, before anybody else gets it. So, they've been brewing that Ken Anderson day drinking lager like crazy. And
do we have a picture of the new can by chance?
It's the same cam, but it is a deeper, it's a more Bengal orange than it was last year. That's the only difference. Okay. It's noticeable when you see it. It's more of I think Dell called it a 3D print this year with a more Bengal orange as the backdrop is the orange, which is really cool.
And we did have a lot of Colts fans up here drinking it and speaking highly of it. And it's a hit. I see some other things. John Stanger, Miller Lite really isn't a beer, James. Okay.
Hey, yeah, hold on before we go any further. If you're ever with James, James is so old school. James act like he's 80 years old. He won't drink any beer other than Bud Light.
Other than what?
It's Miller Lite. Don't ever give James a Bud Light. Yeah. He will get angry with you. The first time I ever went out with James, I don't know how many years ago, I bought a round of beers. It was Bud Light. He took the bucket back to the bartender, said, no, we want Miller Lite. He will not drink Bud Light, period.
Yeah. And we'll not buy it. If I ask you if we're at a bar, like, what would you like to drink? Bud Light? Guess what? You're getting a Miller Lite. Sorry. It's the way it is.
You pick the next topic, Tom. Do you see him in there?
I can't see anybody there, James. I'll boot it to you then. I'll pass it off to you.
Somebody mentioned White Claw in there. Man, Logan Wilson is the next one I see. I think we saw some off-season videos of our linebacker. Tom, you want to touch on Logan Wilson?
The only thing I know about Logan Wilson this offseason is I believe he got married. So congratulations, Logan. I think he is, though, one of those pillars that the team will be built around. When we talked about, you know, certain guys in certain positions just may not fit. I think Logan Wilson is somebody they want here for the long term. He's quick, as we saw last year. He's opportunistic, getting his hands on the ball in big games as well, and getting himself on whoever has the ball for the other team's offense. So I think he's a leader. I think he's going to be here a while. I think they want him here. And, it'll be a matter of getting everything and the numbers put together. But, he's another guy. This next offseason is going to be so big. You know, start with Logan Wilson. But you're also looking at, you know, it won't be too much longer. And DJ Reader is coming up. DJ Reader might be the most important guy on that defense. He just impacts everybody. And also in the locker room. But, those are guys on defense that they want to keep. So, no, I'm really high on Logan Wilson, a fantastic player, works well with his running mate, Jermaine Pratt, and hopefully he'll be here for a very long time.
Yeah, but, Tom, you know what? This is an interesting comment here. Mon's asking what position group are we most concerned about depth-wise? And I'll be honest, as we're talking about one of our best linebackers, one of my concerns on depth is still the linebacker position. They went through some injuries last year as well.
I think if they can get all those guys that were hurt back, and if they are back at 100%, I think they're going to be okay. You know, you got Akeem Davis-Gaither coming back, hopefully at 100%. Joe Bacio, it just seemed like all the Marcus should be back at 100%. So I think they have some depth there. And linebacker in terms of numbers, unless you're a pure 3-4 team, you don't see teams carrying, if their base is a four-down lineman, you don't see them, carrying 6-7 linebackers like they used to. It's more like 5. Yeah. So I think they've got their core, and I think they've got some depth, and I think they're looking for some guys to take a step forward with another year in the system.
Got it. Here's another one.
You go to that, you mentioned Logan Wilson. The first thing you said about him was he got married. If I'm not mistaken, Evan McPherson got married within the last week, too. We had our buddy Scotty Randolph play our party last night. He played at the season opener last year. I believe he was at Ryan Hewitt's Reading, another Bengal player. So I think this must be the summer of Bengals weddings there with
something funny about Evan. I was at a public signing he did earlier this summer. And just like we've talked about, this team is just full of good guys, nice, interact well with people. But anyway, that night, the people that were putting it on kept laughing. And I said, as I was going through this, what are you guys laughing about? And they said, man, the number of girls, young girls, coming through here, for Evan. but it just wasn't that. It was, you know, young people. They just whatever seemed to gravitate to him, and he was just so gracious to everybody, talking football to the little kids, and, you know, not hurrying him through, not being full of himself. But so, you know, I'm glad everything's going great for him at home, he and Logan. But selfishly, we wanted to keep kicking the same way he did last year.
Yep. James, any update on Chris?
Almost home. That's the latest tech. So I'll keep you posted.
All right. Let's talk about this real quick. Not a whole lot of details yet. I am not going to be able to be there for this. I'm going to be up in Canton, Ohio. Tony, myself, and a good group of us are heading up to Canton. But we are planning a SWAT team reunion right now. Hollis, Josh, Bobblehead, Cincy Bob's guy, Dell, us. We've got all three of the remaining SWAT team members. Looks like they're going to be at 16 Lots September 3rd, probably 4 to 7, 4 to 8. Just stay tuned for more details. All kinds of cool stuff being talked about. So just stay tuned. There's more information coming on that. We were hoping to have more information firmed up for you tonight, but it'll probably come out later this week. Definitely after Wednesday, I think we're meeting one more time to kind of put some of the final touches. I'm just hate I'm not going to be able to be there for that, but there will be something going on with the SWAT team reunion. It is going to be awesome. And obviously everything we do is going to be tied to a charity, and that charity will be David Fulcher's charity, which we'll talk more about here later in the week. So that
you mentioned, you mentioned our buddy Josh. This was a conversation we talked about last night, or I believe it was this morning, about the bobbleheads. I believe there's a very limited number of those Ken Riley ones left. We know Anthony Munoz sold out. They have some more coming in the series. You look on eBay, they're going for crazy prices, the Anthony Munoz one. So if here's your chance to get a Ken Riley one before they're sold out. Bengals fans, get them. If you haven't seen one in person, Josh and his team, Josh and Hollis, just do a great job with them. 22 left. There you go. Hollis just chimed in. So check those guys out at Cincy Bob's and get one of the few remaining Ken Riley bobbleheads.
Yeah, it is August 3rd, if that's what we're – I'm sorry, there's a lot of stuff going on in chat here. Maybe I'm getting lost in some of the chat, but that event is going to be August 3rd, if I'm not mistaken. So just stay tuned. There'll be more information come out about it. We're finalizing a few more things, which would be really, really cool. So, all right, what else we want to talk about, guys? SWAT team poster.
Let's see.
Yeah, here's – yeah, that's true. That was one of the best trades in Bengal history, Tom.
BJ Hill? Absolutely. Yep. Yeah, that ranks right up there with our God love him, our good friend Pete Johnson.
James Brooks.
You know, with 1 year left to play in the league, getting traded to San Diego for James Brooks. Or, you know, Fred Willis and Doug Dressler to Houston for Charlie Joyner. But, Paul Brown, absolutely nailed that one in 1984, and kudos to Mike and Duke for pulling BJ, because as we recall, the Bengals were light on the defensive line. They needed depth, and he came in with a week's practice. And I think he hit two sacks that first game against Minnesota, or a ton of pressures. I know he had one sack and an absolute ton of pressures, but he came in and endeared himself to the front office. Got a very nice contract. There'll be a lot of pressure on him this year, but, you know, it looks like the starting defensive tackle position is his, and we've got some depth there. They'll be rotating guys through, but I think that is the main key for the defense this year, and that will be to get pressure, more pressure consistently on the opposition's quarterback.
Yeah.
Here's another good topic by Michael. There, let me see. I just had it. The question was, any leaks for the ruler of the jungle? I can't find it. Maybe Caleb, you can find it there. But if you have any thoughts, there it is. Any ruler of the jungle leaks? Tom, Jim, maybe you haven't heard anything. How about
first of all, if we knew, there's no way in hell we're going to tell you. All right, but I have no idea. I have no idea. That I thought that was a lot of fun last year. What were offensive linemen undefeated up there last year? I think So I thought that was a really cool new game day experience tradition that they started last year. And I can't wait to see what they
do. I would assume whoever is going to be on the Ring of Honor, you know, that game will either be co-rulers of the jungle or one of them the ruler of the jungle.
But, yep.
So there's one.
We know that for sure. That's a pretty safe bet there. I'm with you on that one, Tom. All right. Anything else? Do we want to put him on, try to put him on the phone, or are you still really trying to sign anything?
Yeah, let me shoot a text. Keep rolling.
Just pick him up. Just call him. Just call him. That SWAT team poster, Tom. That's one of my favorites.
That came together pretty quick. I think it's a story there. They were just all in the locker room talking about, you know, it'd be nice to do something. And Lewis Phillips was the energy. Just, we got to do something. And came up with it. So it'll be neat. It'll be neat that night to, you know, certainly David's still very active in the community, but to see him and E.T. and national media celebrity Solomon Wilcots. And see what, because Solly still, you know, certainly has his connections here in town, has his radio show on NFL Network every morning. So to see not only what he thinks of him, but what he's hearing from around the nation.
Right. James is now on the phone with Chris. So sorry, guys. Hey, this is why we want to continue to be live, because stuff like this happens. It's always good. It's either good stuff or bad stuff. But if we can get Chris on here a little bit, it's still going to be a good time. So this is a great question. I've been asked this dozens of times. When does the Fan of the Year get announced? I can only assume it'd be the same time frame that they did last year. It was officially announced on October 21st last year. You're probably going to see some stuff probably the next couple of weeks, I think, where you can nominate a Fan of the Year. But I want to be very clear. I last year being Fan of the Year, I don't know who nominated. There was multiple people that nominated me for that thing. So I think there's a process where you have to nominate and give a short, brief story on why you think your nominee deserves to be Fan of the Year. Another thing I would tell people on that is, guys, there's so many people that should be Fan of the Year, and that's what the most difficult thing is. I would tell you, it could be somebody popular on social media. It might not be somebody popular on social media. Just share who you think that should be the Fan of the Year and tell the best story you can. I think everybody keeps looking at social media that these people should be Fan of the Year. Deserving, probably, for sure. But understand, there's so many people that are not on social media that have been fans for so long, have been in that stadium since the stadium opened and been through thick and thin. You know, so many deserving people. It's just a really tough thing. But I truly, if they keep the same time frame as last year, they made the official announcement October 21st. I think I was recognized, I think, about a week or two before that. Then I had to keep that on the DL, and then it was pushed out on their social media platforms on the 21st. All I can do, whoever it's going to be, just be prepared to be surprised, and they're going to make you shed some tears because I know I did, and I still – probably one of the best moments of my sports life was that time and then the season and going to the playoffs and going to the Super Bowl, just an amazing run. So I'm looking forward to see who the new Fan of the Year is going to be, and I can't wait to see who it is. So let's see what it's here. Right now, our Bengals roadies, and let me pull Caleb on here. Caleb, I hope you're ready, buddy. I'm going to go ahead and pull you on here. So Caleb, we've had on the show before. Caleb's behind the scenes producing stuff. Caleb, how many consecutive games have you been to home and away? Do not count the London games.
All right, so 41 in a row, and 77 of 81, but two of those are London. So 77 of 79.
Yep.
41 in a row.
Yep. So for I don't know how many years, since 1989, 1990, I've been going to one or two or three away games every single year. I've always missed going to every game home and away by a couple games. Last year was the first year I went to every single game home and away. Didn't know it was going to be 21 games, but, you know, Tony dubbed us the Bengals roadies. We had, I don't know, 8 to 10, 8 to 11 people that went to every single home and away game. We're going to be at most every one of the games again, Tiffany. I know the one game that I'm going to struggle getting to is going to be that game in New England.
We'll get it.
That is Christmas Eve. That is the worst accessible stadium in the history of NFL stadiums. I don't want to be – I really don't want to go to New England. Let's see what that game means first. So I'll hold off on that decision as it gets later in the season. But it, we do plan on hitting
it. Caleb, Foxborough, you know, where the Gillette Stadium is actually like 5 miles closer to Providence, Rhode Island than it is downtown Boston.
That's and what I've been told as well.
Yeah, it's not the easiest. I mean, it's not right off the interstate. It's, you know, it's not like Paul Brown Stadium where you have several interstates, you know, right there pulsating and state routes to usher you in and out of the stadium. It is very almost two lane road to get to and into the town of Foxborough. But
yeah, I've been there twice. It's the stadium itself is nice. We didn't have any problems with the fans. But man, getting in and out, it was like two lanes going in, two lanes going out. You got 70,000 people. It is the worst accessible stadium in the NFL. But again, didn't have any problems. Fans were fine. I think the last time I was there was, 2009 opening day against the Pats. We got smoked. But
you've gone to visited a lot more stadiums than I have. Hey, listen. Who are the best and worst to visit? You know, in all seriousness, we have fun with a couple of our division rivals, but who are the best, has been the best and the worst to visit with?
Well, I'll give mine. I'll let Caleb give his. Caleb, go ahead and start with who's the best, who's the worst? Well,
I know that my worst, Jimmy's going to argue with me because we constantly get in a fight about this, but I'll start with my worst outside of the city up north and the city near West Virginia. Those two are obviously the worst, although last year wasn't really too bad somehow. Tony got lucky and somehow managed to everyone be very generous and nice to us. But I'm going to say Buffalo is the worst. I can't even say some of the names that I was called here. Some of them I didn't even know were derogatory. Like they were coming up with new words to call us. It was awful. And that was like 2 years after we sent them to the playoffs. They donated all that money to Andy Dalton's charity. I thought we were going to roll up there and everyone was going to love us. And it was quite the opposite.
Your best.
My best as far as stadium, or are you talking fan wise?
Just overall experience.
I would have to say Minnesota's the best stadium. Their game day experience was absolutely amazing. On top of it, everyone was super, super nice. We rolled in. I actually drove to that game 11 and a half hours. Awful, awful, awful experience. I don't suggest that. But we showed up to a bar close to the stadium the Saturday before the game just to get some food. We sat at the bar, had a couple beers, and me and my buddy that were up there, when we went to pay our bill, the bartender's like, nah, someone already paid for your tab already, and someone else tried to pay for it as well too. So we had two different people, unnamed, didn't want any recognition, try to pay for our food out of the middle of nowhere. And everyone was super nice. The stadium was amazing. If you guys have ever been there, it's top three stadium in the NFL, and their skull chant is unbelievable. A lot of people like the Renegade song that goes on in the city near West Virginia. The skull chant is so much farther away, better than that. It's unbelievable. So I'm going to say Minnesota is mine.
Yeah, and it's interesting you say that. And I don't disagree with you. I'm going to have two different answers on this, but it all depends on how big of the game is when you go to that. What does the game mean? How, you know, what the fans are. But I can tell you, the city up north is absolutely the worst. Guys, I was there in the late 80s, early 90s, when they were relevant. Believe me, trust me, they think they're relevant again. That is the worst stadium. But we're going to talk anything outside of the city near West Virginia and the city up north, like Caleb did. I'm going to go my best experience, not even close. Not the best stadium. Bleacher seating, awful metal bleacher seats. Green Bay by far to me has been the best experience. I've been up there 4 or 5 times by far. Fans, the stadium was fun. The tour, the history, the uniqueness of where the stadium's at in the middle of a residential neighborhood. Last time we were there, James and Craig and Dell and Here's Ryan. We literally went across the street the day before the houses that have the decks on their roof to overlook the stadium and see the. We went in there just to knock to see somebody to go into the backyard to get some pictures. They literally opened up the garage door. We were there for 3 hours drinking beers with them. One of the best experiences. I totally recommend getting to Green Bay for a game. Just a great time. Believe it or not, outside of the city up north in a city near West Virginia, the worst stadium, in my opinion. I've been here three times. I totally was shocked by this, but Jacksonville to me was the worst experience, overall experience for me. I couldn't believe it, man. I was a little shocked. I didn't expect it the first time, but two times after that, it's the worst. I don't even want to say some of the things that I want to say right now because it was amazing. Again, every city has great fans, good people. There's different percentages. I call it the D-bag theory, right?
it's a line. There's a
– every city has their percentage of D-bags, just asshole fans. I you know, every city, including Cincinnati. The bar's pretty high down in Jacksonville. I don't even know why. I can't even begin to tell you why, but that was one of the worst experiences three times.
Well, that was also the Ramsey-AJ Green fight, and it seemed like every single person in the fan – was invested in the fight. And as soon as that happened, it was like a light switch. Like people around us were wanting to fight us. That was one of the reasons we started doing the front row thing, was simply to try to eliminate being next to all the D-bag fans. It was awful. I mean, I really thought that people were trying to fight us because AJ Green was fighting Jalen Ramsey. It was,
and what was funny about that. So Caleb, James, we were all there, my wife and Lori, and we had a bunch of people out at that game. I don't know what the number was, but Caleb, maybe 15,000-20,000 Bengal fans, and our section was 90% Bengal fans, and it got really ugly. And again, three times, not just the AJ Green fight. Every time I've been there has been ugly. But those are my best and worst. Best Green Bay by far, not even close. Worst Jacksonville. Again, we're excluding the city up north and the city near West Virginia. I will tell you guys, it does sound like there's gonna be a lot of new road trip folks, people going on road trips this year. Look, man, don't escalate situations. You're going to get heckled. You're going to get yelled at. It's okay. You just move on. Don't escalate it.
You're in their territory. There's no reason to be like that. I mean, it's not everyone's going to be as friendly as we are in section 158 there. There's going to be people that are going to be trying to start stuff. Just let it go.
Help is not on the way.
Yeah, true. But it is funny, you know, as I look back, I think I'm at 28, 29 stadiums, whatever it is. But I got to go to, like, both stadiums in Detroit, right? The old Silver Dome and the new Ford Field. I got to go to both stadiums, last two stadiums I've been to in Indianapolis, the RCA Dome and whatever the hell, the Lucas Oil Stadium. I was in Minnesota's old stadium, which was probably one of the worst stadiums itself. Now, fans were great, but one of the worst stadiums, the old Metrodome. But that was the year before they moved out of that. Got to go to both stadiums in the city up north. City near West Virginia, obviously here in Cincinnati, both stadiums. So it's a real cool experience. There's nothing better than going on the road, having fun with friends. And it's even better when the Bengals win on the road. It is a great ride home.
There's nothing better than a win in another stadium. I love Paul Brown, of course, but winning in another stadium is amazing. Luke asked me how many stadiums I've been to. And I mean, I guess if there's 32. After this year, I should have four left. James or Jimmy, if I remember correctly, after this year, you have two. Is that right?
Three. I'm not going to be able to get to no new stadiums for me this year.
Okay, so three is what you still need to do.
All right, let's get back. Let's get an idea, James. What was Chris saying? We're going to have to kind of push this to another date.
Nope. He said 5 minutes about 3 minutes ago. So he apologized that it's been a long day. So we'll give him the 5 minutes there. And we've waited this long and we'll have him on. So just to add,
Who's going to bed right now? You know, Tony the Tiger is in bed right now. He's past his bedtime.
We got in trouble because our fantasy draft was so late last year. 9 o'clock. He's like, I've been in bed for 2 hours. So yeah, we apologize, Tony. We're keeping you up on a school night. So
everybody that's just tuning in, Chris got stuck somewhere. He's on the way home. We had Charlotte, the head cheerleading coach for the Cincinnati Bengals, on. She was awesome. DJ Primetime stepped away from an event he was at to come on and talk to us for a little bit. So we still plan on having Chris on here. We've spent a lot of time here kind of prepping for Chris. So we appreciate if you can hang on. If you're able to, great. If not, at the end of the day, we will be this is obviously recorded, and we'll get this to you guys. You guys will be able to watch it. But it's we got a lot of good stuff with Chris coming up here. So
You guys were mentioned in the stadiums, and Buffalo, I would agree with you, Caleb. I think they got a couple of snowballs thrown in my direction, but also probably one of the best tailgates, tailgating with Pinto Ron there. And who's the guy that drinks out of a bedpan, has the meatballs out of a bedpan?
Yeah, Buffalo balls.
Yeah, Captain Buffalo. So they're unique. And I think a lot of it depends on, you know, how the team's doing. I remember going to Kansas City 8 years ago, and they were, you know, bad. And, you know, if the team's down, it's certainly a lot easier experience than when you're going into a division leader that's well on its way into the playoffs. They can certainly be a lot more hostile than a losing team. So
I'm sure it depends on the situation. You know, I had a great experience in Nashville, but I know you guys that went down for the playoffs last year, it was not as smooth. Oh, was it okay? Some people said it was not as smooth.
I agree with James's point about the magnitude of the game changes it. In 2017, I believe, was the Sunday night game in Kansas City. Everyone was super friendly. Everyone was super, super nice there. But I can't necessarily say that that was the case in the AFC Championship, at least for the people sitting next to us. They were they sure were giving us quite a hard time.
Yep. Well, it looks like Chris is dialing in. Caleb, I want to put you back out here real quick and see if we can get Chris. Wait till he gets in here.
Yep, he's there. We had his picture. We'll see if we can get him.
So he's in the waiting room.
There he is. Hey, Chris, how you doing tonight?
What up? How you doing?
Doing good. We appreciate you. We appreciate you taking the time to join us. Chris, a star at Ben Davis, which is literally 2 minutes down the road from where I'm at right now. Went to have a great college career at Michigan. Sixth round draft pick this year. Goes to the Super Bowl his rookie year. What a rookie season. And proud to have you on, Chris. Thanks for joining us tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on. I appreciate it.
All right, Chris, what's going on, bro? Thanks for joining us today. So we got some videos we want to share with you, but I do want to talk about the charities, man. If you can see the screen here, I got not a former teammate, but somebody who played linebacker for Michigan as you were the year after he graduated, you came in. But Joe Bolden, middle linebacker from Cincinnati Colerain High School. Basically, I called Joe and I said, Joe, man, he was what was he, James, at the end of the day, when he after he played his last year at
grad assistant.
So your freshman year, Chris, he was a grad assistant. And he remembers very vividly his first comment without hesitation to me. He goes, I remember him being really involved in the community. Kids absolutely loved him. They gravitated to him. That was Joe Bolden, middle linebacker for the Michigan Wolverines from 2012 to 2015. So are you able to talk about some of the charities and some of the things you're doing with some of the kids in the area?
Yeah, I have a charity called CE Stars, and pretty much we just send around inner city youth and just bringing the inner city and the suburban kids and bring them to you know what I mean, bring them together and play football. You know what I'm saying? I just bring them together and from all parts of life and you know what I mean, just for a good cause and just make it all work for them so each side can see the same situation. The suburb kids can be grateful for what they have, and the, you know, the kids from any city, you know what I'm saying, they can still play with them as far as like with the like donations, and you know what I mean, and they don't have to pay as much as the suburb kids play because they're already like one parent homes and stuff like that. So we have a lot of donors and you know what I'm saying, get donations and stuff wherever we can get those kids to be able to play.
Gotcha. All right, we're gonna play a video here, Chris. So it's not, there's no sound on it, but we'll talk about your high school playing days there, Ben Davis in Indianapolis High School. But it was fun spending some hours today and yesterday or this week kind of doing some research, but in 2014, you guys won the state championship there at Ben Davis, and you set all kinds of high school records, man. But talk about your high school career for a little bit.
Yeah, man. I came in as a freshman, played quarterback, and I came in as a freshman, played quarterback in middle school. Then I got switched to slot because we had a good quarterback, which is actually good for me. So I just wanted to be a team player and help out the team anyway, and being able to get on the varsity field as much as possible. So I played a little bit of running back, mainly slot. In my senior year, I played mainly running back. So when I was getting recruited, I got recruited as an all-purpose back just to be able to do that. And what helps me to this day is that I started out playing receiver after I played quarterback. So I learned all the fundamentals of receiver. So then now to this day, my game, the little nuanced things I learned as a receiver helps me like wait and play running back. So I had to get used to that mindset of running between the tackles once I got to college, because I didn't really have to do that early in my high school career.
Yes, I saw, I watched that video clip's probably 8 or 9 minutes, and man, you had a boatload of just they had you flanked out at different times. You were great hands as a receiver, and I mean that's a great thing for all purpose back now in the NFL, being that versatile to be able to do all those things. So let's go to Michigan real quick. Let's talk about the time up in Michigan here. So this is your very first game. Your very first game in Michigan against Hawaii at Michigan. You went off, man. You had I think that game you had 100 plus yards in like 2.5 quarters. They took you out because you guys are smoking these guys. But here's a highlight video real quick. I want everybody to see of Chris at Michigan here.
Quarterbacks love offensive linemen. This is Chris Evans, the freshman, down to the 10, showing a terrible start and a pretty good go of it since then. Chris Evans inside the 10, the 5, dies for the pylon. You saw it, pretty cool under pressure as well. Evans.
There you go.
Goodbye.
So your very first game at Michigan, you went 112 yards in like two quarters, 14 carries, and a touchdown, man. You remember your first game, your first touchdown? You remember that?
Yeah, I remember it.
So at Michigan, Chris had 4 years at Michigan, almost had 18 rushing yards, 5.6 yards per carry, 15 touchdowns, almost 500 yards receiving, almost 10 yards of reception, and 2 touchdowns. So you can see, as I get to this next video clip here, his versatility came into play really quick early in the season here for the Bengals. Here it is.
Snap away. Open for the touchdown. What a grab by Chris Evans. And that's going to be a Bengal touchdown.
Reeves Maben out here one-on-one. Look at the bottom of your screen. All the dangerous guys are up on the top. Just a little stutter and go. That's the matchup you're looking for if you can get that tight.
You're taught as soon as you get to any of these franchises.
There's Allen on third down. Dumps it off. Inside the 10, down the sideline, Evans. And he steps out of bounds. Allen on fourth down. Catch is made by Evans for a Bengals touchdown.
So everybody that's viewing right now, obviously both of Chris's touchdowns this year in his rookie year were receiving touchdowns, but he averaged 4.5 yards per carry in the backfield as well. So, man, the versatility, so going back to high school, you playing receiver and running back, that really helped you throughout your career, it looks like. Would that be accurate?
Yeah, sure. Just the nuance and the fundamentals, a lot that I see today, like the fundamental like edge over some of the guys, you know what I'm saying? So I can be able to do that and the releases and stuff like that. Lions clip, like if I didn't play receiver in high school, like I wouldn't have, release couldn't be, you know what I'm saying, as smooth as it was.
Gotcha.
That That touchdown in Detroit, Chris, I believe was a little bit special. Going to school in Michigan, correct me if I'm wrong, did you work at that at Lions Field while you were in college, helping out some charities?
Yeah, so I had my charity, so my charity and my nonprofit. When you're in Detroit, you can run security and get $40 a person to help who helps security, like at the event, like not security, but like hand out pamphlets and hand out stuff like that before the game. So I did that while I was suspended in 2019 with my team, my kids from Michigan, to help raise money. And when I got to go to Detroit to play, my kids got a suite, and they got to see me score, and I got to talk to them after the game. And it was just a full circle moment that I was in there, a security, watching the Giants versus the Lions in 19, and not coming in my rookie year, and I was kids there, that was there when I scored, so I was big for it.
What a special moment, for sure, to go back to where you spent four or so years in Ann Arbor, get your first NFL touchdown there in Detroit. Tell us about the rookie season, obviously culminating in the Super Bowl appearance in L.A. How much of an adjustment was it from college to the longest NFL season ever?
Yeah, it was cool. It's real taxing on the body, especially out there, special teams. Special teams is a war. Just as much as they're getting hit, like we're either hitting somebody or getting hit on special teams. So I got a couple injuries I did, but like everybody on the team was dealing with something. We played 24 games, including 21 games, including preseason. So 24 in total. So got nicks and bruises, and ankles and scratches, and you get into the shower after the game and got cuts everywhere, and in the hot water hurts your cuts, you know what I'm saying, stuff like that. So it was just conditioning, summer conditioning. So I was in shape. I feel like I wasn't as prepared as I want to be conditionally wise for the season to start. So yeah.
Talk about how much of an influence Joe Mixon's been in that running back room for you, especially last year as a rookie and being a teammate of him in the Bengals backfield.
Good. He's a different guy. 30, he's running it all the way down to the touchdown. He does it just himself. Like, you know what I mean? We every time I get the ball, I'm trying to score. And also, you know what I'm saying, gets him in shape to have him finish those long runs and stuff. So just seeing him doing that, seeing how he just attacks his craft and just works hard every day and just, you know what I mean, leaves no doubt that he's one of the hardest workers on the team. So, yeah.
Yeah, Chris, Dave Lapham, the voice of the Bengals, has mentioned many times that so often you see the biggest adjustments, improvements in a player between his first and second year. What things are you looking to, work on this year? And what was your biggest adjustment coming into the NFL? Was there much that surprised you?
Preseason for rookies and like late round free agent guys is like, it's so exhausting things I've done in my life. Like, we're out there. At this time, we're playing Tampa, and it's down to me and the last running back because we're brand new and we're rotating every drive. We're playing all the special teams, like every special team. So you'll go out there and get three runs, and then you're on punt. The defense will go three and out, and then you're on punt return, and then you come back out.
With that, and certainly I was going to tell him not to worry too much about the special teams. That's nothing against Darren Simmons, who I think everybody has a lot of respect for, but I got a feeling they get too much look on you. You're done playing gunner. You're done returning punts and so forth. We'll be protecting you a little bit more to run from scrimmage and to catch passes from Joe Burrow. So very excited for this coming up season, and very thankful you're a Bengal.
Yes, sir. I appreciate you, man.
James, go ahead. Close it up. Come on, bud.
No, Chris, again, we appreciate everything that you do. The charity work for the kids, especially the inner city kids, is great. We help a lot of charities here on the show. So anything we can do to help spread that word, please let us know. We're happy to do that. And again, glad you're a Bengal and you have to make that 2-hour drive down 74 to Cincinnati and don't play at Lucas Oil on Sunday. So again, I think you cut out there a little bit, but what we're seeing is the culmination of, you know, what started at Ben Davis, your diversity there, both in the backfield and as a wide receiver, what you did at Michigan, those highlights there of that Hawaii game your freshman year, speak volumes. I think you were a steal to get you where we got you in the draft. Glad you're a Bengal, and honestly look forward to the big things this year coming up the Super Bowl run. So appreciate you being a Bengal, Chris, and thank you so much for joining us tonight.
See you, big dog. Thanks, buddy.
Hoot day, Chris.
See you, bud.
All right. Those were good video clips you pulled from the archives, Jimmy. Thanks for doing that.
Spent hours putting that together. Damn it.
That was, I'll tell you what, those were some pretty spectacular highlights. And those that don't know, Ben Davis is one of the powerhouse schools here in Indianapolis, located on the west side of town. I think, as you said, won a state championship that year in 2014 and perennial top school every year.
Yeah, I tell you what's interesting. I mean, reading all these articles about him, right? Tough, physical, shifty, all-purpose back. I'm going to tell you right now, I don't know this for a fact. I'm just telling you how I feel. This is my opinion. Chris is going to see a huge expanded role in this team this year, especially within this offense. Don't be surprised to see Chris Evans have a breakout season this season. Joe Burrow, the new offensive lineman, Joe Mixon in the backfield. Joe Mixon can't carry every single time. You're going to see Chris Evans be more part of this offense than he was last year. He's going to have a breakout season this year. I'm pretty excited about him. This kid, I couldn't believe that high school video. I mean, most of his highlights were from the receiving position. I mean, he was just unbelievable. And his statistics, even in college, I mean, it's unbelievable. The guy's going to be a very, very big addition to that Bengals offense this year. He's going to have a breakout season, in my opinion.
100%. I think Joe Mixon was rated top 5 running back in the league by ESPN. But I think Zach, who we had on last week there, and Brian Callahan know that with these longer seasons, they got to keep the tread on their running back. So giving Chris more touches, I think, is going to be something, as you alluded to, we're going to see a lot more of the upcoming year.
Well, let's go ahead and go through here, guys. This has probably been the longest episode we've ever had in 3 years. We do appreciate Chris at least trying to make it on with us, that Wi-Fi connection. We do know somebody on the screen here that might be able to fix that Wi-Fi for him, but we'll talk about that later. So let's just go around the horn, James, and we'll start with you and go down to Caleb, then Tom, and we'll close it out.
And we appreciate Allie and Chris for getting Chris Evans to join us. Again, Chris doing community work, so kudos to him. And excited for next week's show. That first Super Bowl episode we did with the 7 or 8 players from that Super Bowl team was probably one of the favorite shows that we ever had on. And I think this one is going to be every bit as good on Sunday. So kudos to you, Jimmy, for getting everybody together. I know Willie Anderson was a big part on getting a lot of his teammates involved, and excited for next week's show. And I'm just waiting for the text from Jamie tonight to see how many thousands of dollars of loonies he won in his poker tournament. Tom?
No, again, great guest tonight. Appreciate all of Chris's efforts and Charlotte and DJ. But pretty big week of news for what is typically the desert for NFL fans. News from the Bengals this past week and a big announcement coming up this week. So we'll go from there and have something else very positive, which has become the norm. And, you know, we'll see everybody last Sunday. We appreciate everybody's patience tonight with Chris. Jimmy?
Caleb? Oh. Go ahead, Caleb.
Yeah, I also want to thank all the guests for coming on. I'm definitely excited about the new DJ. I'm glad that he knows the rules. No black and yellow, no Wiz Khalifa, and definitely no Renegade. For sure, we're not going to be playing that song either. Going to have to reiterate and pound that home. Awesome, Chris, to come on there. Sorry I was having some connection issues, but I do know a guy, as you guys know. We may be able to help him out there if you guys pass that information along. But now it was a great show. I'm really looking forward to next week. I thought the reunion show was one of the best shows that we've ever had. As you guys all know, I did schedule engagement pictures with my lovely fiance several months before we had this scheduled. So I'm going to still try to sneak out and get back as quick as I possibly can.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
Jimmy's discouraging that. We'll see. We'll see how quick we can run through there. I mean, yeah,
it's good.
If you got the dogs involved, you're never going to get done. You'll be doing them till Monday.
No dogs. We're doing them up in Dayton. So they'll end up on the highway. They'll be on 75 if I let the four Huskies be involved in photos.
I guess I'll be a little repetitive here, guys. I just want to thank everybody for tuning in. The longest show we've ever had in 3 years, and we still got a pretty good chunk of people in the room here. Next week, guys, massive show. Seven or eight, I forgot, I lost track, of the 2005 AFC North Championship team. So that's going to be a lot of fun, that reunion next week. There's also might be a couple surprises next week. We won't dig any further than that. Thank you to Charlotte. Thank you to DJ Primetime. The Ring of Honor announcement is likely coming out this week. Here we go, Willie and Lamar and Isaac and all the guys that everybody on that list is deserving. But I can't wait to hear that announcement. I cannot wait for the season to get going here, guys. And we will see you guys next Sunday. Thanks for hanging in with us. And we appreciate you guys today. We'll see you next Sunday.
Good day.